We're getting ready to resume the program. My name is David Martin Davies. I'm with Texas Public Radio, and it is our honor to participate in helping bring this evening together. It's the objective for tonight is to hear from you guys. We're going to talk a little bit about what we know, what we think the problems are, but a lot of you guys, y'all live this, and you know. And we will be opening up the mic, and we want to hear questions from you or comments. We'll talk about how the documentary was made and the impact and how we where we want the city of San Antonio to go, your city, where it's going to be going, because we're going to be leaving, and you're going to take over. So how we're going to make your city a better city, it's up to you. All right, so let's get this panel discussion going. First of all, you know Mayor Julian Castro. You know, he's in his third term. Are you still the youngest mayor of a major American city? Probably, but I don't know. He has been active across the nation on education reforms, working with other mayors from other major American cities. Of course, he was the keynote speaker for the Democratic National Convention and now a national political figure, you know. And he is ushered into San Antonio the Pre-K for SA program, which, of course, is an education program that we all have high hopes for. Here we have Jean Russell. She is the SA 2020 Chief Strategist. She was the assistant to Mayor Phil Hardberger and the Communications Director for Mill Hardberger. She is an expert on education reform also. next to Mayor Castro is Jose Franco. He is a graduate of the Partners Program that we saw. And he is now a senior at Travis High School, which is also connected to San Antonio College and participating in their early college program. So he is skipping up again. He's not just one skipping. He's already doing college work. So we want to hear from him, you know, what needs to happen. And down at the end is Jim Mendiola. He is the director, made that film, Skipping Up. And, you know, Jim and I, we grew up in that neighborhood. You know where Mark Twain Middle School is. That is our neighborhood. We recognize those houses. I don't know exactly where that is, you know. So it wasn't like us dropping in or Jim dropping in. We knew that neighborhood. So it was very close to us to see that story being told about our old hood. So let me just start off real quick by asking Jim, how did you come to make that documentary? What drove you to tell that story?
Thanks for inviting me, and thanks for all you guys being here. I always say that students are the best and toughest crowds because you guys really kind of say what you mean, so we appreciate that. So I liked it when you laughed. Bobby Chulo, that was my favorite part. ITVS, which is this basically public television, got money from the Gates Foundation, and they wanted to address the Latino dropout rate. So they put out a call to producers nationally to come up with a story. So we had about a month to do that. So Faith Radel, who's my producer, we're both from San Antonio. We were living in L.A. at the time, and we wanted to come back and tell a story dealing with San Antonio, because oftentimes those are the stories that are ignored in this national media. It's usually the West Coast, East Coast. We actually contacted Gene, who was very helpful in steering us to some programs that we went and looked at. We went to Mark Twain. We're talking to some groups. They said, hey, you guys need to go talk to Mrs. Adams. Go downstairs, and there's this great class, and so we knocked on the door, it opened, we met Miss Adams, we saw this amazing class of students, and found out what they were doing, and decided that was the story we would tell, and we hung out with them for a while, met the kids, and was very impressed with them, so that's how it started, and it's a part, there's four short films covering these kinds of stories nationally, and it's part of this bigger program called American Graduate, which you can see on pbs.org. So you can also see this one there, too.
Now let me ask Mayor Castro. Here you are. You've been working for education reform. You've worked hard to bring SA 2020 online here in San Antonio. But what do you think when you see these these kids, you know, reclaiming their future and turning things around?
Well, and first I want to echo what Jim said. Thank you very much. And thanks, Texas Public Radio. And most of all, thank you to all the students who are here from Twain and Noe from, I think somebody said they were from Poe and Wheatley and a few other schools. And congratulations to Faith and Jim and DeRay for wonderful work. I mean, the first thing I think about is that they give us a lot of hope. Because that's what we want for our young people in this city, is that if they're on track, we want them to stay on track. If they get off track for whatever reason, like the students who told their stories in the documentary, we want them to be able to get back on track. It's also very gratifying to see the difference that the Partners Program makes and the way that the students start to believe more in themselves. And have confidence that they have the intelligence and the ability to accomplish and to stick to it. And that's wonderful to see in life, and particularly when we all of us care so much about our young people here in San Antonio. So that's my initial thought, my reaction to it.
So Gene Russell, SA 2020 Chief Strategist. So what are you strategizing? What are you figuring out? How are we going to? Because we've heard so much about San Antonio's dropout problem, but a lot of people haven't heard the good news that great strides are being made in reducing the dropout numbers, and we are raising our graduation rates. So there is a story of success that has not been really told, right?
Right. So
maybe, yes.
Yeah. So maybe the work is done? No.
No, the work is not done. A lot of work to be done.
So I think, you know, as the mayor said, it's so exciting to see this sort of untapped potential in our community and how the ability to sort of give students hope and tap that potential. And I think what was one of the things that really jumped out for me was the students not just talking about graduating from high school, but talking about going on with their education. So the mayor for his whole term has really been talking not just about, like, let's do something about the dropout rate, but let's do something about, you know, children achieving their dreams, whatever they be, and having that opportunity to go on and really do something beyond college and beyond high school. And so in addition to seeing our high school graduation rates improve, we're also seeing our college enrollment rates go way up. And so we have students like Jose, for example, who are already doing college credits while they're still in high school. So I think that's another sign of real encouragement in the film and in the community.
It's interesting to me to see that we have to provide avenues for second chances. That a lot of our students, they do live in uncertainty. And we have had a structure where if you do flunk, you miss something, you have run into some adversity. We got to give people, that's what Skipping Up does, and that's the genius of the program, is now there's an on-ramp back in, you can get back in traffic. It's that you don't get knocked out and you're done, and now your education experience from then on is going to be being warehoused and being given busy work. We got to, every child is valuable, every future cannot be written off, and we have to figure out ways to make sure that they know that we know that, and we make something happen for them. I mean, Mayor, I mean, what more can we do?
Well, you know, I want to commend SAISD, and I know that trustees Olga Hernandez and Patty Radel are here this evening, but for instituting this program, you're right that a lot of times as we're going through school, if you flunk a grade or if you don't hit your mark, it's almost like the world starts to leave you behind, and you get discouraged because it's difficult to get back on track. And so a lot of students, I imagine, drop out because they figure, like you said in the video, that you're not going to get back on track. This is a unique program because it gives a student an incentive and makes it realistic for them to get back on track. So we need more of that, and I'm pleased that it's happening now in all of the SAISD middle schools. I wish that it would happen in all of our middle schools throughout San Antonio. That would be a good start. But more generally, we can adopt the approach that is being taken to give more one-on-one attention, to provide a convenient and realistic avenue for them to get back on track, and to make sure that we help them follow through so that they not just finish high school, but they go on beyond that to something that's post-secondary.
Let's get Jose Franco in this discussion, because you've gone through the program, and here you are now a senior. Tell us about your experience. How did you come to know about the Partners Program and what it could do for you?
Well, at first, I was kind of skeptic. I was like, well, like most of the kids my age, I didn't really want to do much. I just wanted to go to school. I just wanted to go and do, I guess, just sit there and watch. But then I came to the approach. I looked at it myself. I was like, what am I going to be doing at home all day? Well, I guess I could be able to take this approach to, I could go to school. I could stay there a little longer. Maybe I'll have something done. Okay, well, I stuck there from the beginning of school to the ending of school. And I made sure that I did what I had to do. And when I came about the program, I didn't expect none of this. I expected to just get along with my grade. I was just to be able to do what I can. And honestly, I didn't expect myself coming to be able to come and just do more for myself with the program.
So what are your education goals now?
My education goals, well, right now I'm doing my high school. I'm finishing up. I'm on my last year already. 3 more credits, thank God. You know?
Yeah. And do you feel like if I can do it, you're a smart guy. People tell me that you're very intelligent and you're very capable and you've got a bright future, but you're not the only one that has all those attributes. So many of our student body does, of the kids. How do you, are you talking to them? Are you encouraging them to go for it?
Every time I meet the students, I come across another generation of me. I look at myself and I see myself as part of them. I look in their eyes and I'd be like, all right, well, what do you want to be? And I see the same responses that I used to come up with. Well, I don't know. Well, maybe I want to do something with myself. Well, I look at them and I'm like, all right, well, y'all could be whatever y'all want to be. Just the sky's the limit. You know what you got to do to be able to get up there.
You know, we hear that all the time. You know, hey, you could be anything you want to be, but you kind of feel like, well, maybe not me. Maybe that's the other guy. Or how come, if that's the way, then how come no one else in my family has been able to do that? Maybe, but you've got to figure out a way for you and in each individual student to claim that and say, no, that does apply to me. I am one of those people who will achieve success. And there's got to be a transformational moment where you cross through the threshold and you realize, I'm going to be one of those people, right?
Right. I understand that this is just like the way I started off the program. I mean, I didn't see myself advancing like every other student. I saw myself, well, okay, I'm going to lay back and see what I could do. Well, later on, I started seeing credit by credit come. I was gaining it by weekly, by day, by 3 days. I had a health credit. By a couple of weeks, I had a math. Sure enough, I had a reading knocked out. Well, I looked at it. I was like, well, if I could do this, I'm pretty sure I could do a little bit more. When I really came down to it, I graduated as before even the year ended. So I looked at myself, I was like, wow, I didn't even know I could do it that quick.
That's a great story. That's great. I love that. So we've only got about 15, 20 minutes left. There is a mic down here. It is turned on. If you've got a question, if you've got a comment, we really want to hear from the people in the audience. We've got the Mayor Castro here. How many chances are you going to get to pepper him with some tough questions? We want to hear from you. So Mayor Castro, as you are traveling around the nation, you're not only telling them about what we're doing here, but you're able to see what other places are doing. Are we reaching a consensus? That I know that pre-K for SA has become a model across the country. We're seeing that it's being adopted in New York City. So what's the future for education? How are we going to make sure that we capitalize on the brilliance of our youth?
Yeah, well, I think the great thing about what happens in local communities is that that there's such diversity in approach and they really are these laboratories so that we can figure out what works. San Antonio is one of the cities that's leading the way with investment in pre-K, and so you're seeing that pop up a lot more. New York, for instance, the new mayor there is proposing pre-K and a few other places. We're also seeing a lot in terms of parental engagement, more focus on that. I had the opportunity to chat with some folks recently from a group called Too Small to Fail that's working on early childhood and particularly that issue. So it's been neat to see different ways of tackling what is really the same issue, which is how do you ensure that a young person never gets behind in the first place? What's so fascinating about what we have in front of us tonight is this program tackles the question of, well, what happens when they have gotten behind?
Right.
We don't give up on them. We redouble our efforts. And it's fantastic that this is actually working. So this is a jewel for the nation.
And there are a lot of things. It's not just one silver bullet, but we're seeing lots
sure.
of effects. Say, see San Antonio, the ARCH program, finding out there that 100% of the children who enroll in that ARCH program at SACE graduate and go on to college. So we have to figure out ways to engage each and every student individually as an individual and take advantage of all of their individual brilliance that they bring to the society. So, Gene, let me ask you over at SA 2020, you're working on the dropout. Why is dropout so important? And if you got a question, just come up to the mic and we will let you speak. Okay, let's go ahead and let this young man go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes, I had a question. How does the city support the group?
I'm going to pass that right.
So, how do we support the program, the partnering program?
It's a good question. First, I don't want to be inaccurate, but I don't know right now that the city is, and somebody may correct me. But I'm very impressed with it, and I think that we should figure out a way to be supportive. I'm glad that the federal government right now is supporting it so that it can expand to all the middle schools, but our goal should be, to the extent that it continues to work very well, how do we get it in other schools as well? Throughout San Antonio. So you bring up a very good point.
Hold the mayor's feet to the fire.
Yeah.
Make him walk the walk.
You know, we're not doing it right now, but it's definitely something that we should look at doing in the future.
All right. Okay. Next question.
My question is, do the teachers make a difference in the program?
Do good teachers? Yeah, absolutely, I would imagine. But let's let the mayor and Gene...
Okay. Is your question in general or in the program? I'd let Jose answer the question with regard to the program.
In the program,
okay. Yeah, I mean, since
talk about your teacher experience, Jose.
All right, my teacher experience. I can't say that she wasn't all the best. No, I'm just kidding. But my teacher was awesome. She was always there for when I needed her. If I needed something, I had it right there in an instant. She always had handed out her number to her students that needed help, or if any sort of concern that she needed to be aware about, we would be able to contact her. And to have teachers like that, that's amazing. I mean, I wish everybody could have a teacher just like that, to be able to have someone to be able to go and talk to, and not only that, to be able to go and have their questions answered is a great opportunity for every student to have.
You know, but that brings up an interesting point, because we hear about kids in middle school, you know, they come from the elementary school a lot smaller, and maybe the teachers know every student, but as they get to the middle school, they kind of get lost, and if they don't want to be seen, if they just want to slip through, then they can, but if you got a teacher like Miss Adams, then she can watch each and every individual student that she has in her group, and she can make sure that they don't fall off the table on that. And you had a question, comment, sir?
Yes, I'm a school teacher, and I've been teaching for about 26 years. And something that thank you. Something that really popped up to me, and I'm glad you mentioned about SAC, because these are models that we can look at. But it popped up to me that the administrator had mentioned, well, the middle schools inherited this problem. And as an elementary teacher, if you look at the research shows that we make gains. When we hit middle school, it bounces down. Then it comes back up. To answer your question, even though, of course, you can only answer your question, but research shows a teacher makes probably the biggest impact. And I like the program, and it's a comment that I'm looking at, and we need to make this nationwide. And thank goodness we got that grant. But... if we go ahead and look at what it's modeled after, if you really look at it, this program that's modeled after, it's very much an elementary type of program, an elementary type elementary school level, because you have only one teacher. All right, you have one teacher that's relentless. They're not going to go ahead and say, okay, you know what, give me your homework when you can. No, no. Dame la tarea ahorita, mijo. Give it to me now. All right, or you got 20 minutes, give it to me. But you're going, and then if it's not done, where's your homework again? You know, you need to have teachers that are really going to go ahead and step up and make sure that it's like in my room, failure is not an option. And I'm talking about for me. So we need to make sure that that is happening. Model this, like you said, Mayor, across San Antonio. You know, and I teach at South San, so it's the demographics are pretty much the same. So we have those kids. We need to make sure that they don't fall, and we need to make sure that we get this program up and running, you know, so that we can get kids like you that now. And it's just like, to answer his question, you started feeling good when you saw success in yourself. Before, you didn't have that. You were like you said, oh, I'll see what it comes out to. But then now you saw your credits, like you said. Another credit, and darn it, I can do this. So that's the comment I wanted to make. Make sure that we do this. Administrators have to make sure that they get the correct teachers in there.
Okay,
because you got to have a good teacher that's
all right,
in there.
So let me ask you, Gene Russell.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Great comments. Great comments. So what's SA 2020 doing to help get good teachers into the system and keep them there?
Well, so SA 2020 is the community vision, right? So what SA 2020 is doing is it's trying to highlight these successes, trying to encourage replication of the things that work. We're not going out and doing anything to get teachers into classrooms because we are a small organization.
Uh-huh.
But what we're trying to do is identify what's working in our community, help surface that information, and help replicate it. So, like, I think as Jimmy said, I was at the mayor's office then, but we pointed them to this program because we knew it worked. And now the program has been replicated, and though the city didn't fund the program, the mayor did write a letter to the federal government, which gave them a very large grant to expand the program. And I think, you know, the point this individual just raised about the elementary, I mean, one of the other things that I think is very interesting in this video is that most of these kids the time that they failed was actually in elementary school. So I think something for SIC to really think about is, can we intervene sooner? Can we identify these kids that, for whatever reason, sometimes it's like a medical reason. I mean, the idea that we wouldn't have second chances early on is it's very common sense that we should have a second chance in life and in education. So how do we think about that? And I can say my two children, who I think are still here, who are in second and fourth grade, they can tell you who the kids in their class are already who are struggling. And it ties back to pre-K also. I mean, they can also tell you that those kids very typically were not in pre-K education. So how do we weave all these things together to create a system where failure is not an option?
Okay. We got another question from the floor. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I had a question for you. It's Jose, right?
Yes, sir.
If it wasn't for this program, where do you think you would be?
Honestly, I would see me over there at Edison High School with the nursing degree program, playing football while I'm at it as well.
So you would be at Edison doing the nursing program?
I would get into the nursing program and see what they had to offer.
Okay. But you think that now what you're doing, you're able to I mean, that's a good program. It sounds like there's achievement there, but still, you don't think you're reaching your potential doing that?
Of course, when I came out of middle school, my teacher told me that I wasn't going to be able to excel as a regular student in high school. I need something more stronger, more difficult, because I was just excelling so quick and so fast in a certain amount of time that I was given. So I was over here on my end. I was like, all right, well, if I could do this, then
right.
That'd be it.
And yes, sir, go ahead.
Yes, sir, thank you. Three quick comments and then a challenge. Mr. Mendiola, that was a very beautiful film. Thank you. Sir, thank you very much. Three letters for you. PhD. Mr. Mayor, pre-K for SA, excellent.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, here comes the challenge. You're not getting off the hook that easy. Ms. Russell, you need to pay attention also.
All right, I'm glad no challenge for me. That's cool.
Six of the seven city run, the city partners with SAISD to and Northeast and Region 20 to run GED and ESL centers on December the 12th. Six of them are scheduled to be closed. I know the focus is on middle schoolers and even high schoolers, but the adult students at these learning centers, they're their parents. They're their tías. They're their grandparents. My challenge to you is to listen to community members when they come talk to you and they tell you, hey, my whole school, my whole community center where I go to GED and ESL is being closed. Have you, first of all, I mean, I know that the city needs to save money. I'm on board with that. That's always a good idea. But to cut funding connected with education, that's a rough cut.
So who funds these programs?
That's a great question. Yeah, and one that we addressed during the budget process this summer. My understanding is that the state actually funds the programs. The city housed it at these centers. So our concern during the budget process was that they be able to still get funding from the state, which we understand they still get funding for the programs, but the city made a decision with the understanding that they could find another home, physical location, not to have them in these centers so that the city could actually not use those buildings, but that they could still find a home and they still have funding operationally. So at the end of the day, we don't believe that those programs are going away. They just are not going to be at the centers that they were at.
Yes, ma'am.
So I'm not probably as steeped in this issue as the mayor is, but my understanding also is that there's a real opportunity here. So I understand your concern and I share it, and there's changes to the GED test too, so there's a lot of hard stuff going on with the GED. But my understanding is they're looking at putting them, for example, in pre-K centers, which is where, so that the opportunity for somebody to actually drop off their child and then take classes while their child is there. So there's potentially an opportunity to really build out more like a community school model, because these city-owned facilities, they were providing an important service, but frankly, for me, they felt like a place. They didn't feel like a great place to go. They didn't feel like a happy place. They felt like a place for people to kind of catch up. And so, if we can somehow integrate them into schools and pre-K centers, I actually think that's, or even libraries, that's a real opportunity. But
you do make a great point that it's not enough for us to just say, "Well, these things are closed, and now, right. You know." We don't know what's going to happen. And so you do make a very good point that we need to follow through and ensure that they find a home that, as Gene says, it's a plus and it's not a minus. And I guess our pledge to you is that we will focus on that. We'll do that as December gets closer. You make a great point.
Thank you.
Right, I'll check into that also. Okay. We got one more. Yes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Benjamin Mayo. I'm Martin Davis. I listen to you a lot. And Mayo Castro, my kids just love to see you today. If you hear my accent, I'm originally from Ghana in West Africa. And I'm so amazed to be here at this moment. You guys is... it's just an encouragement. You guys have advantage. Do not lose track. Do not wait before you go to where the program. Take advantage of every minute you have. We don't have that advantage. We live in a place, when we come here, we struggle hard to be part of it. If you go to overseas, the embassies, you see everybody want to come to the state. And you that have got opportunity to be here. Why are you wasting it? Take advantage of it. Don't go home and watch TV. Don't go home. Play games. At the end of the day, it will not help you. This is your chance. We are living in a third world. We want to be here in America. You have it. Don't waste it. Study hard. And the sky is the limit. Thank you.
All right. What a closer. That's great. Okay, so we said we're going to end at 8:15. We got to wrap it up at 8:15. I definitely want to thank our entire panel. Great for being here. Jose Franco, Mayor Castro, Gene Russell, Jim Mendiola. You know, you're on the campus of Our Lady of the Lake University, guys. Make this, you know, when you leave, look at the beautiful spires, look at this beautiful campus, maybe decide this is where you want to go to school, that you can go to college, go to university, and you can take it to the next level, because we believe in you, and you just got to figure out how to believe in yourself also. Well, have a great night. Thank you for being here.